Our gospel reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of their righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." The words of God for the people of God.
Well, good morning again. I said I would tell a little bit more about myself as we got to this point. So you'll notice the cover of the bulletin says NOMADS. Anybody know what those letters stand for? NOMADS. Well, they were given that name by Global Missions. They are domestic missionaries within the United States. And the letters stand for Nomads on Mission and Divine Service. That's what Global Missions said. Now, those of us who are nomads have an entirely different meaning for it. Most nomads are senior citizens. Most nomads have RVs. So when we see nomads, our definition is nice old Methodists actually doing something. So I am one of those nice old Methodists who has had the honor of doing 35 nomad missions in my career. That is an incredible amount. Each mission is supported by 6 or 7 churches of the places that we work at. So I've had the honor of meeting a lot of pastors around the nation and being with them. Each nomad team is most of the time couples, not all the time, and it usually has 5 or 6 couples or equivalents. So there's 10 to 12 members on a nomad team. And the nomad team works for 3 weeks at a site, but because we're seniors, we work 6 hours a day and only 4 days a week. We need a 3-day weekend to recover after working those days, definitely. So that is the nomad experience. Today I want to talk to you about a couple of the nomad experiences that we have had. The most interesting one that we have had going through was when we were working in New Mexico at a site. New Mexico and Oklahoma are very much Methodist areas. I don't know if you knew that in Oklahoma, there are two children's homes, Methodist children's homes, in the state of Oklahoma. There is a boys' home in Gore, Oklahoma, and there is a girls' home in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Tahlequah, Oklahoma also happens to be the capital of the Cherokee Nation. So when you work in Tahlequah at the Methodist Children's Home, you also are in contact with many Native Americans from the Cherokee tribe. And the Cherokee tribe is so proud. There are 2 hospitals in Tahlequah. There is the city hospital, and right next to the city hospital is the Cherokee hospital. They have their own hospital for their nation. Many of the doctors share between the 2 hospitals on it. But you definitely are embraced in the Cherokee culture when you work in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. Kathy and I became nomads right after I met her. I was a Methodist all my life, well, as long as I can remember. I moved out of Milwaukee when I was 3 years old into a suburban area, and my neighbors left, and an elderly couple moved in next to me. My mother took a tray of cookies over to be nice neighbors to the elderly couple, and she almost dropped the tray of cookies when the person opened the door was the retired pastor that founded our church. So growing up, my neighbor was a retired district superintendent of the United Methodist Church. So I definitely had to behave myself with a Methodist district superintendent sitting next to me. They were nice neighbors. I wanted to go on and play my tuba and be a band director, but he was telling me every day that I should do something else in my life. He wanted me to go on and be a Methodist minister. Sort of ironic that here I am today. Here I am, Lord, just as the song said, and I am doing that. I first became sort of a Methodist minister when I was in Wisconsin. There was a shortage of pastors in Wisconsin, so the bishop up there appointed a number of members from some churches to be deacons in the United Methodist Church. And as a deacon, you went around to the rural communities and you did communion on the first Sunday of the month, but you also did services the other times. So I spent 3 years being a circuit rider Methodist, traveling to all these rural congregations in rural Wisconsin and doing services for them. I wasn't ordained. I was an appointed deacon in the United Methodist Church. And I still am an appointed deacon in the United Methodist Church. That doesn't change. Once they appoint you, that is it. So I'm not an ordained pastor. In fact, a friend of mine who is the retired district superintendent out of New Mexico calls me a pastor second class. That's because I wasn't ordained, I was appointed. But Pastor Jen doesn't like that term at all. As far as she was concerned, she said, "You are the pastor of the church this week. You are doing the sermon. I consider you a pastor just like any other pastor, just that you were appointed rather than going through seminary and being ordained." So that's how I ended up becoming a deacon in the United Methodist Church. I had started off being a Methodist all my life and being that way, and I'm sure my pastor Nelson, who was the person who founded our church, looking down from heaven, would be very, very proud now of what has happened, of being able to continue to serve the church and do this for the day on it. Okay, nomads. We told you their funny name of what they were. Nomads go out on missions. Right now, there are approximately 15 weeks of nomad missions every year. Each mission is 3 weeks long. Besides that, there are what are called drop-ins that are where some places need help and they contact the nomad office and the institution is put on a list. And if any nomads are in the area, they call them up directly and they drop in literally and help them and do repairs or whatever going through. So normally on a nomad mission, the first thing nomads are great at is painting. Amazing what places need to be painted. I can tell you the number of Sunday school rooms and fellowship halls that we have painted. You also get pretty good at laying tile as they need that of going through. So whatever the church needs are what nomads do. You hope that the people that are part of the team have the skills that you need to do it, and amazingly enough, God does provide. With the missions that we've done, Kathy and I were team leaders on 25 of the missions that we did. That meant that we got the list of the names, we contacted all the people, we told them where we were going, we were in contact directly with the institution we were working at, and found out what they needed to do, worked with them to get the materials that we needed, and then when we got there on Sunday night, when all the nomads arrived, the team leaders get to do one nice thing. You get to make supper for the whole team and feed them on the first night. So the team leaders have to be cooks and have all the things necessary to feed the whole team. So you might have 12 people there for dinner on the first night right after you arrived. And then you have a team meeting and you tell them what they're going to be doing around it. The next morning at 7:30 in the morning, you have devotionals, and then you go off and you start working on the projects that the church had. You take a break in the middle of the morning, because nomads, elderly Methodists need a break in the middle of the morning. Go to lunchtime, have an hour lunch, come back, work again for an hour and a half, take another break, then work till the end of the day, and that's our day. By the end of the day, you are tired. By the end of the first week, you can feel muscles that you haven't used in a long time. I mean, you are really pooped. That first weekend, you are so happy to be able to rest and everything. By Monday morning, you are back at it again. And you do that for 3 straight weeks. The institution that you're at gives you a present on the last night. They make dinner for you. And usually many members of the congregation come in and they have a thank you dinner for all the nomads before they leave. And then the nomads pack up the next morning and they go in all their different directions. In all the years of working nomads that Kathy and I did, 10 years of it, there are only a few times that we were on a mission with other people we knew. There's 1,000 nomads out there, so there's no way I know all those people. But you certainly get to know a lot of new friends every place you go, learn new skills, and you hope that they have the skills that we need for the mission on it. We were a little wary about becoming team leaders because we weren't planning to become team leaders, but the mission we were on, the person that was team leader, fell ill and had to leave the mission. And of all the rest of the people that were on the team, we had done 4 missions. All the rest had only done 1 or 2. So the director, Carla, of Nomads called me up and said, guess what? You are now a team leader. So Kathy and I became team leaders. Kathy was not a leader person by any means. She didn't like being a team leader, but she was very good at being a team leader. But we had problems with her on every single mission. My wife was the biggest problem I had on all the missions we did. Mostly, we went and worked at children's homes. So here we are working on things, and one member of our team disappears from the team. Where do we find her? Sitting with the children. She's a kindergarten teacher. So she would sit with the children and she would read to the children and talk to the children every day. And we'd see her at break time and we'd see her at meal time. But she spent most of the mission trip with the children at any of these institutions. Her favorite place was going to Tahlequah, the children's home there. Definitely needy kids, and she just loved being with the children. So that's how we got our start in being a nomad and running around and doing all these wonderful missions. We had one very scary mission. We were working in Sacramento, New Mexico. You probably have no idea where that is. The nearest city to Sacramento, New Mexico is Cloudcroft. And Sacramento, New Mexico is at 8,500 feet in elevation. It is definitely up in the Sacramento Mountains and the Sacramento National Forest. Well, the first week went absolutely wonderfully. We were working on the projects they had. Saturday came and a cold front moved in. And with a cold front came a thunderstorm. The thunderstorm had incredible lightning strikes. And Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, the emergency civil defense siren went off, telling us that the entire Sacramento Valley was being evacuated because of the forest fire that had started from the lightning strikes. So here we are with our RVs. We had 15 minutes to pack up our RV, get everything in order, and drive out of there and drive 25 miles down to Cloudcroft. We stayed in Cloudcroft for 2 days, and then emergency government came back and said, the fire is under control. It is not out yet, but we need your help back at the camp. Well, what are we going to do back at the camp? Well, it seemed that they brought in 200 firefighters to work on this forest fire. And the camp opened up their dorms for the firefighters to stay there. And they only had a small cooking staff. So guess what the Nomad team got to do? We got to make breakfast at 5 a.m. for the firefighters. We got to make bag lunches after that so the firefighters could take them on the road with them. And we got to make supper for them at 6 o'clock at night for them to have supper. That was what we did for a whole week while they were working on putting out the rest of the fire. So we had not what our Nomad team thought we were going to do, but we were definitely serving the Lord in a different way. They got the fire out. Everything else kindly came to the third week, and we were able to get back to do a normal Nomad mission. We were supposed to get the camp ready for the camping season, which was going to start in another week. They had 200 campers coming in to be at the camp. You can guess what the dorms looked like after having firefighters having stayed there. They weren't absolutely clean. In fact, we had lots of soot that was all over the camp. So we had to clean every single cabin. We had to go through and clean the kitchen. We had to wash all the dishes over again, wash every piece of silverware, and get the camp all set for the people to come in the next week. That is definitely a Nomad mission that I will remember the rest of my life. We got the camp ready. The people came in, and they had a wonderful camping season, and all of us as Nomads went off in our different directions. But that is what life is as a Nomad missionary. You don't know what you're going to run into, where you're going to be. Kathy and I did mostly missions that were west of the Mississippi. We had missions in California. We had missions in Montana. We had missions in South Dakota. We had missions in Minnesota, in Illinois, in Missouri, and in Wisconsin. So what we did is we looked at the Nomad schedule, and we tried to find missions that were near where our grandkids lived. And Kathy had grandkids that lived in Denver area, and I have three grandkids that lived in Wisconsin. So any place that was in between, coming out where Kathy's grandkids were or where my grandkids were, we looked for Nomad missions so that we could drive from one place to the other and stop and do a mission on the way. When you do a Nomad mission, RVers love that. You don't have any RV fees. They put you up for free. You just have to help work for them. So you work for your lodging, literally, that's going through. But that's the one benefit you get from being a Nomad. Is being a Nomad free? No, Nomads have to pay a yearly fee to be part of the organization. And Nomads are supported by Global Missions. There are a number of churches around the nation that, as part of their missionary budget, send limited funds to Nomads to help support the Global Missions. That's up to each individual church and what they have available in their mission budget on it. But it is the domestic missionaries fund of Global Missions, as we have the foreign missionaries that we send over to do places. So Nomads are domestic missionaries. And that's what Kathy and I did for our 10 years of our married life and enjoyed every minute of it. So let us conclude with hymn number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. And please stand for this.